Welcome to the Whole Enchilada, a community of high achievers that fight the status quo, rebel against mediocrity, and make life happen. Let's go. Hey, Enchilada Nation, I am so excited to be back with you today on the Whole Enchilada podcast. We have an incredible guest on the show today, a good friend of mine that I got introduced to. Man, it's been what, six, seven months ago before that we connected?
Probably, maybe longer.
Maybe a little bit longer. If you are in the real estate game, you've probably seen or heard Justin somewhere. Justin Stoddart is the founder and owner of Think Bigger Coaching, host of the Think Big Real Estate Show, and best-selling author of The Upstream Model, which I've got my copy of the book right here on my desk. And I'm really excited about having a deeper conversation with you. In addition to that, I can't fail to mention that you've got a beautiful wife and six kids at home.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my favorite part. And if we're lucky, they won't interrupt us today. I love them to death.
Yeah, well, what our listeners, my listeners don't know is that we always have our pre-conversation before we start recording, and you already had a little interruption and I had a little interruption from the kids at home. And you know what, as much stuff as we have going on, that's the best role we have, right? There's, I was in a conversation with an agent out of California and we were talking about business, and we shifted our whole conversation to about our roles as dad being the number one most important role we have. So, and I know you think that same way.
Yeah, 100%.
So what else should our listeners know about you before we jump into the meat of our conversation?
And I think you did a really good job. I appreciate the intro. You know, I think one thing that I've discovered, Marcus, is that the road to success is well marked, right? You can find coaches, consultants, mentors, guys that will teach you how to be successful in business. The thing that I encourage people to understand is that I believe that there's a difference between success and significance. And I think that you know, it might be semantics to some people, but I believe that success is really can be seen kind of outward in what you personally accomplish, whereas significance is more what you help other people accomplish. And so for me, Think Bigger, right, which is kind of the brand and the mantra that I carry, to me means to help other people to live, give, and serve abundantly. If I can do that, then my life's been a success. And that's really at the core of who I am, is helping people to think bigger, knowing that that's what that means, is to think bigger than just success, but to really give them a path to significance.
I love that. And I've from the first time we met, the idea of calling your show the Think Bigger Real Estate Show, I think that term is floating around our industry more and more. And I think a lot of people confuse what Think Bigger really means. They think bigger means double your sales goal, double your income goal. They think that's what it means to think bigger. And I love your approach to it, where if you increase your thinking, your ability to think and think differently, your ability to have an impact on other people change. And as a result of that, your sales may double and your income may double. But it's not the way of doubling that most people think. Because the truth is, if they take that approach of saying think bigger, and they're going to say, I'm just going to double my sales goal, and they write it down on a piece of paper, if they don't change the way they're thinking in relation to that and change their habits with it, there's no way that's going to happen. So I love that. Let's go deeper on what significance means to you.
You know, for me, it's having not just good income, because typically success is defined as a certain amount of income, net worth. And I think income can be replaced. Time cannot. And I know, I think this is why I was excited to be on this show, right? Is because the Whole Enchilada for you, that's like, you're the kind of guy that builds this kind of life, and you teach and inspire other people to live, you know, other people to live this kind of life as well. And so for me, it is about creating success and significance, which is great income, no doubt, right? I don't want to be a pauper, and I don't think anybody should be, but also to have time to enjoy that great income, right? There's too many people that get to the end of their real estate career and or any other business, and they look back and their kids are raised, and yeah, they put them through a nice college, but there's no relationship there. And I think that's a sad story, right? And I'm not encouraging anybody that's on this call, if you're in that spot, it's not too late for you to go build those relationships. But if you can start wherever you're at right now and not waste any more time only pursuing success at the expense of significance, I think you'll find your life to be a lot happier and a lot more fulfilling.
Yeah, I think that's actually really beautifully said, the idea that income can be replaced, but time cannot. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs, myself included, I think we have really addictive personalities where we get so fixated on an accomplishment that it's almost like I put blinders on at the expense of everything around me. I've shared with my listeners before, there's been times with not a choice. It wasn't like a physical choice where I said, I'm going to neglect these other things that are important in my life. But I get so consumed and fixated on one area of my life that I neglected some of those things. And by doing so, I think I reduced my significance, right? From the outsider's perspective, my success may have been increasing, but my significance on other people, particularly really important people around me, have decreased, while from the outsider perspective, my success was increasing. So yeah, it's not healthy.
Well, and it gets difficult in a world where we get a lot of adoration from outside success and not as much from significance, right? When social media likes and follows and shout outs and office awards and all this stuff is very visible, and spending time knee to knee with your child isn't very visible. Sometimes we tend to lean towards the stuff that makes us famous as opposed to stuff that really makes us, deeply impactful. And I'm reminding myself as I'm saying this, right, that there's certain things that matter more, and certain things when I'm in those moments, Marcus, and I'm across, like knee to knee with my child, and they're just saying one of the cutest things ever. And I'm just soaking in their facial expressions and their energy. And I'm all there. I'm all in on that conversation, and I'm responding and asking questions and not thinking about work, not thinking about what's on my phone or what I should or shouldn't be posting. When I put that stuff aside and I'm just really present in the moment, I can't think of a time when I'm more joyful, right? When I'm more fulfilled and just genuinely happy. Mm-hmm. Now, whether you've got children or not, it's those moments of connection with other human beings that we're talking about that you don't get when you're just chasing the kind of outward trophies of life.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting to see, if you look overall at people's careers, historically, they talk about, your 20s are, you're kind of figuring out your path, you're learning some skill sets. And then in your 30s, it starts coming together for you and success kind of jumps to a new level. 40s, you really start cranking it and really hitting it out of the park. And if you think about that from a business standpoint, that all makes sense. But if you overlap that with some of our other life responsibilities, like you think about, both of us have young kids, 30s and 40s, those are the years my kids are home, right? When I get to late 40s and 50s, my kids are now leaving home. Yet did I trade those most important years of my career of really pushing things forward for some of really of those tender experiences that what life is really about? It's an interesting thought.
It is, isn't it? I love that. It's kind of like it seems like a bit of a sacrifice, but it's probably a test to see where our priorities are at,
Yeah.
And part of what I teach isn't that you need to necessarily make a choice. I believe that there are ways that you can have both. You can have success and significance. I believe that some of the models that we've been taught and subscribed to don't necessarily promote that. And that's kind of part of what I've centered my career around is how to give people models for both to have success and significance. So I don't know, that has to be a choice.
Yeah. I love that you went there. Cause that's exactly where my mind's going, right? Is the way we've been talking about this, it's which one do you give a higher priority to? And in true fashion with the whole enchilada, I think it is a choice, but not a choice between. You can choose to have both. But just like anything in life, something that you're going to choose to have or go for, it's really then looking internally to say, do my skills and habits and models that I have and I inherently own, who are me, does that match me succeeding at a high level and being significant at the same time?
Yeah, that's really what led me to not just embrace the upstream model, right? Which I know we kind of talked a little bit about, but to start to teach it to other people. I was taught from an early age about sales that it's always a numbers game, right? That you create this big database, whether it's a personal sphere, whether it's a geographic farm, whether it's internet leads. And from that big database, you're going to pluck out some golden eggs, right? The millionaire real estate agent teaches that 10% of your sphere of influence database will turn into a deal. So if you have 100 people in a database, you can count on about 10 people coming out of that, right? And if you want to grow by 10, you got to add another 100 people, right? So that's 200 people to get to 20 deals. What we don't necessarily talk about is that there were 90 people who we added value to and gave some of our precious time and resources to that didn't do a transaction, nor did they refer us to a transaction. So it's like, huh, what if we could, rather than playing the numbers game, what if we could reverse engineer and say, who are the people that are not just most likely to refer, but who are, could we go find specific golden geese, if you will, and go find those golden geese and bring them into our world? And instead of going out to find 100 people to get 10 more deals, going out and find one more person to get 10 more deals, because they're out there. There could be in the form of an estate attorney, a lender, a builder, on and on, right? And like, there's literally dozens of people that I coach people, depending upon who their kind of unique avatar is, to go find those one or two people and bring them into their world. And the cool thing is that not only do you get like further faster, but you get that time back. Again, you're not courting 90 people that can't help you, which, by the way, is taking some toll on those people who you really should be present with, which is your family, right? And that's where I feel like the path of success is well-defined, but it doesn't always include significance. And so I've sought out and even developed models that say, how do we reverse engineer this to where we can really focus in on the strategies that will get you there faster and leave you time to pursue significance? Because it's super important to me.
I love this mindset. I think you not only articulate it really well in the book, but also the little illustrations that kind of walk you through and visually see this concept. And I think the simplicity of the idea of a certain size database will produce a certain number of transactions. I think our industry has adopted that language, because the majority of agents, and this is true for most entrepreneurs in general, is we fight this idea of any element of effort into a database, and or we see that a database is just a list of names and numbers, and it feels impersonal. Where I love how you're identifying this is a database is only a way to organize people and identify which are those people that are the most likely to be a great partner for you. And as they lean into the value, they should escalate or go higher within your database to get more energy in your time. Because if there's 100 people in my database using your number, and I'm trying to split myself, my energy, my leftover energy after giving my family my time 100 ways, in essence, no one's really going to get any depth to me. Right. So from your perspective, how do you start to say, okay, well, out of these people, who are the ones, who are those golden geese, as you say, and is there a way to find those people?
Yeah. So I think that there's a couple different ways to look at this. One is, who are the people that I already know that are in that database based on their propensity, their history of referring me or using me? They automatically get classified at a higher level. That's pretty well known across our industry, right? Is that we need to prioritize our database, give our kind of our A+ or our VIP clients the best of us, right? That's not really new or unique. What is new or unique that I'd like to say that I'm introducing to the industry is, how do you go say, rather than just who is in my database and how do I choose who I spend time with? What if I were to go and specifically select people to be in that database who I know have a very high propensity to not just refer me once a year, but refer me 12 times a year or 24 times a year? Now you might be saying like, okay, that seems like a pipe dream. Like, what are you talking about? Like if we just said that 100 people have a 10% a 10% conversion rate to using you or referring you, how are you going to find somebody that can refer you 10, 20 times a year, right? Well, there are certain professions in the marketplace that are upstream from a real estate transaction, hence the term upstream model.
Yep.
For me as a developer builder, an architect was an upstream partner, a great upstream partner, right? For a real estate agent, you just have to ask yourself, based on the people that I love to serve, who is a professional that already has a relationship with this person? And through the course of their conversations in going about their day-to-day work, they're uncovering the fact that this person is going to need an agent next. And when you do that, you don't rely upon just somebody being a really good friend of yours, knowing you, liking you, trusting you, and you taking them out for, you know, happy hour and lunch enough times that they remember you and that they're willing to refer you. Like those people, we love them and they're good for a couple referrals a year. Fantastic. But what we're looking for are the real centers of influence. I like to even reference them as senders of influence. I didn't come up with that, but I love it. Of people who, again, because of their day-to-day work all day, every day, they're talking with their clients and their clients just happen to be needing a real estate agent next, right? Yeah. That's where you can say that person comes into my database. You're reverse engineering this process. Instead of bringing in a whole bunch of people and sorting through and finding out which ones do I focus on? It's no, which ones do I focus on? They get into the kingdom, right? They get into my world because of who they are. Now the trick is how you approach them, because I'm not the first guy to come up with the fact that, like, hey, if you had an estate attorney, or if you had a great lender, or if you had a great CPA or financial advisor, that they have the propensity, because of the conversations that they're in, that they could refer you their clients on a regular basis and it would be good for them, right? I'm not the first guy to come up with that thought. But the thing that I've realized is that it's how you approach them. Most people approach those professionals with their hand out, even though it doesn't seem like they are. I've interviewed these professionals and they tell me, I have the ability to refer 18 to 24 pieces of business a year, and I don't refer any of it to a real estate agent. And I've uncovered why not, right? And that's what I go into in depth in my book and in my coaching programs, is exactly how you need to position yourself differently. And by the way, it's not by saying, oh, by the way, I'm never too busy for your referrals. That works with people that already love you, that know you, that you're just trying to stay top of mind. It works wonderful. What it doesn't work well with is a business to whom you're trying to add value to, not just to them, but to their clients, so that they bring you up in conversation all the time. It's a different, it's a B2C marketing message to the consumer saying, oh, by the way, it's a B2B. And the B2B has to come in genuinely interested in bringing value to their business. And you have to position yourself, everything from how you first encounter them, get introduced to them, or brought into their world has to be different than I'm a real estate agent that helps people buy, sell, and invest in real estate. Because those are a dime a dozen, right? Yeah. Whereas somebody that can come in and really help their business, it's just a different approach. And it works if you do it correctly.
Yeah, I really love that. I mean, I'm a big proponent of leading with value, right? There. Mm-hmm. In our world, we talk a lot about a win-win. And in my mind, yes, I want a win-win, but I want you to win a little bit more than me, right? And it cracks me up how many people don't, on a piece of paper, they read it and say it makes sense, but they can't see the examples in their own world where they're ignoring it. So for example, a real estate agent will come to me and complain about, oh man, I hate when these home warranty companies come in and just knock on my door unannounced, hand me a bite-sized Kit Kat and ask for my business. It's so annoying. I'm purposely not going to send them business now because that was their approach. And then they turn around and do the exact same thing to their clients of like, oh, I'm frustrated that they're doing that, but that's going to be my approach to my clients too.
That's so funny. I love that. You're right. There's this kind of this blindness of like, I hate it when people do that to me, but I guess that's what's working for this age, is I'm going to do it too.
Yeah. And they don't see it the same, but I love this idea. And I love the examples you gave in your book on the idea of saying, okay, number one, if I can get upstream and connect with someone that is that golden goose that already has pre-connected with my ideal client and is doing it over and over and over again, it's one, the idea of, can I bring value to them and build that relationship in such a way that they want to refer me business? And one of the things that's been on my mind recently is we talk about, we want to attract more talent. We want to attract more of those relationships. But the thing we don't ask ourselves is, am I attractive to that type of relationship? Mm-hmm. And I know this is, you're a huge student of becoming and self-development and growing. And I think we do a huge disservice in our ability to building those relationships if we're not becoming someone that they're going to see valuable, right? So how do you make that connection of saying, okay, if I'm seeing that upstream, I want to get upstream, I want to find those people in my world. It's a combination of saying, who is that person? And do I have something that they find value in? How would you approach a game plan around that?
So through my coaching program, the first two things I focus on are, number one, mindset, because the reality is all of us have more value than we think we have to offer. And sometimes we talk ourselves out of even entering into those conversations because it's like, what do I have to offer? Right. Or the second thing is, I don't know that I have time to do this. Whereas if you realize the ROI on that time with a golden goose, you would clear your schedule and make time for it. But when it comes to the mindset piece, I always teach people that you don't have to step into those conversations as I'm the magic bullet for everything. I can solve all your problems. You're simply positioning yourself as a peer, as opposed to as a solicitor, right? From the very warm introduction that you get from someone who already knows them. You're not soliciting in, by the way. Once you walk through the door as a solicitor, it's hard to unwalk through that door. They see you like that. So you're positioning yourself from the very time you're introduced by someone else who already knows them, okay, to where you're pre-sold coming in. So in that conversation, you are now able to spend the entirety of the conversation talking about them, right? As a business consultant would. I'm here to really find out where you're at, where do you want to be at, what's your path to get there, what's your methodologies, what are you most concerned about with those methods, like really finding out, trying to identify, almost as if a doctor, before he prescribes, he's looking to really kind of diagnose what's the issue here, what's going on here, right? And that's how you're approaching this conversation. You're not bringing your business cards and all your brochures and talking about all the initials after your name and here's how I serve my clients and I'm going to add you to my email list. And I'm like, that's not what this is about. This is not about promoting you. This is about proving the fact that they can get from where they are to where they want to go faster with you in their world. But you're not saying that, you're demonstrating that, right? And so if you're wondering, like, what value can I bring into that equation? I teach that there's four buckets from which you can always pull from. Number one is the bucket of the stuff that you already know. Now, if you happen to be working with Marcus in one of his market centers, you know that the library that you have to pull from Marcus and your brokerage's training is nearly unlimited, right? Like you know more than you think you know, right? Now, for those of you that are outside of that world, it's true. You probably know more than you think you do. Okay. So the first bucket is what you already know. The second bucket is who you already know, right? Just simply being a connector to value goes a long way in this world. The third bucket is what you could know, right? First bucket was what you already know. The third bucket is what you could know, which, by the way, we have this amazing tool called Google, which allows you to know a lot of stuff in a hurry, right? And the last one is who you could know. Now, those last two buckets don't have bottoms, like they're limitless. And so when you walk into those conversations saying, I don't have to know it all myself, but I could either figure it out or I can find somebody who can figure it out. Now, all of a sudden, we should be able to walk in saying, look, I'm just here to be, I'm really curious about who you are and kind of what your goals are and what you're working on. Now, from that conversation, you can step out knowing what a challenge is in their business and go to work to add real value to them. And your resources are limitless on how you can do that.
Man, I love the identifying those four buckets. I think that's really brilliant. Like, it reminds me of an experience I had several years ago where I met with my coach and we came around to putting together my game plan for the year, my goals for the year. And historically, you know, I'd show up and kind of have an idea of what my goals were or whatever. And this year I was really proud of myself. I knew I was meeting with my coach that day. I had my goals all put together. I was very clear on how I was going to execute on it. And I was expecting this huge pat on the back and it was like, awesome. Now let me see your personal growth plan. I was like, what do you mean my personal growth plan? I got my business plan together. He's like, well, who do you need to become to execute that? And so he actually helped me map out a game plan, which focused on bucket number three and number four is what is it you need to learn to be the person that's going to do that? And who is it that you need to know that's going to help you do that easier? So he actually helped me map out these buckets three and four of saying, you're great and you put it together on a piece of paper, but if you haven't done that before, you've got a gap in knowledge. You've got a gap in relationships, which is that third and fourth bucket. I love how you identified it that way. I think it's really cool.
That's cool that he identified that. What a great coach.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing that with us. So we talked about, I want to go back to something I wrote down here, this live, give, serve abundantly. I want to focus on the serve piece. From your perspective, where did you come up with that live, give, serve? And why did you pull serving other people into that mentality for you?
I don't know if anybody gets credit for this. Probably somebody does. You know, you when you're always learning, you're kind of pulling in other people's perspectives and ideas and kind of curating them and making them your own. And I think for me, I just looked at what's the life that I ultimately want to live. I want to live abundantly. I don't want to have to run everything that I'm doing through a money filter of, can we afford that? Should we afford that? Like, that's just, I don't want that to be the question that's the preeminent question in my mind, right? I discovered that at an early age, and that's not what I'm interested. That's not how I'm interested in living. I want to live abundantly. When it comes to giving, I would love to be able to be really deeply touched by an organization and be able to say, how much do you need, right? The check, right? That's the giving part. The serving part kind of goes back to the significance part, right? Lots of pathways to success. There's feet of significance. I believe the biggest form of significance is the time freedom. Serving entails your time. The most valuable thing that any of us have is your time. When you can not only live abundantly, but give abundantly, but also serve abundantly, you've had to position your life in such a way that you've got success and significance. You've got great income and you've got great time freedom to be able to pursue things that are more important than just your own endeavors. So I think that serve component of being willing to kind of put that on the altar, if you will, be able to give that as a sacrifice of like my time, the most important thing I have, I'm willing to give that to causes that I deeply care about.
Yeah, it's interesting to me is, and you might see this as well, as I coach different entrepreneurs across the country, it's always interesting to me that when we talk about their ideal future self, them down the road, a lot of them are talking about this element of, I want to give back. I want to serve in the community. I want to do these things, which is always, that's wonderful. I love to hear that people see that as part of their future vision of themselves. And then when we work it back to their day-to-day operations now and how they're operating, there is no element of serving or service or charitable giving at this level. And it's always an interesting conversation to say, like, who we are down the road is just the magnification of who we are now. And so what are the chances that we're going to really be serving and giving abundantly down the road if we're not exercising that muscle now? So I love to see people that are already doing that at a high level, like yourself. Where do you think that inherently comes from? And like, who taught you to exercise that muscle at an earlier age?
I think, I don't know, probably my parents to some degree. You know, I think about the story that touched me at an early age of John Huntsman Sr., that he was a philanthropist before he was a billionaire. I just recently read a story of he and his wife when they were very poor in college. And for those that live in your neck of the woods, probably know that name Huntsman pretty well. Mm-hmm. But very much a philanthropist. That's really been his legacy. But before that, he was a wealthy man. But before that, he was a philanthropist, right? At the core, that's who he was. There's a story of which he and his wife decided upon $50 per each of them for spending money. And that they were going to, each of them have, again, $50 to spend on whatever. And, she would always, you know, kind of buy things that were important to her. And she never saw what he purchased with his money. He didn't really talk about it much. One day they were in a church meeting and somebody stood up, some lady from the back who'd been going through hard times said, look, I don't know who's been doing it, but for the past number of, I believe, months or years, somebody's been giving me $50 every month. And I know it's one of you. And I just want you to say, I'm grateful for you. It's changed our lives. And she looked over at her husband and he was straightforward, you know? And getting a little emotional here, but when I think about the kind of life that I want to live, right. It's not for the glory's sake, right. It's for just impacting people quietly. And I'd like to be more of that person. I can't say that I always am, right. Sometimes I do it for the glory's sake. And, but to be more like that, right. To be more like that person that's just looking for opportunity to do good and using whatever resources they have. And, you know, hopefully there's plenty of them to do that, right. That's kind of where the, you know, the success comes in, is to be able to create the space like Huntsman Sr. did, to be able to give freely and give openly, not just when he was poor, but also when he was very wealthy. He just continued that pattern throughout his life. So to your point, I think being a philanthropist starts long before you hit success. It's something internally. It's a state of the soul, you know?
Yeah. I love that. I, My brain's just really working through right now. That this is one of the reasons I really love this platform is I get great feedback from my listeners of what they're picking up from it. But I think the person that's growing the most through these conversations is me, which is wonderful. But I love hearing your stories on this and the way you've been using the word abundance. And as I kind of been thinking through this, abundance would suggest some element of excess, right? Abundance would say I've got what I need, and abundance is in excess. And I think if we all examined our life, there may be an area where we're not in abundance or in excess, but I think all of us have abundance somewhere, right? In yeah. something. And I think that excess piece could fill a gap for someone else. And I think that's a great way to look at this opportunity to serve, is even if you don't have money in abundance, then maybe you don't have the excess money to be giving away, but maybe you have an abundance of energy and time or compassion that could fill a gap for someone that's where they're lacking. And it's maybe an area they don't have abundance, but it was just a thought in my mind of like, we're talking about living abundantly. What does that really mean? And that's the thought that popped into my mind.
I love it. You know, right now, obviously we're recording this at a time where there's some really troubling things going on in Europe. Right. And while we maybe can't go there, and nor would it necessarily be wise there to go and try and like fight those battles. Maybe you're a person of faith, or maybe you're not, whoever you are that's listening to this, right? Is that even, I think, just praying for people, or if you're not religious, have your thoughts towards people who are less fortunate than you are, I think can be the start of that, right? To actually devote some of your time and mental and spiritual effort towards that tends to have a similar impact as even giving money. It's you're sacrificing something, which causes you to become, kind of going back to what you'd said earlier, this journey of becoming something more. I think that's the essence of why we're here, right? Is that we become something more than when we got here, not just in the fact that our bodies grew up, but that our souls grew up to be more kind, more compassionate, you know? So I think at the most simplistic level, we can all at least do that, right? Is have compassion and a heart, and potentially prayers for those that are going through difficult times.
Yeah, I love that. I know we kind of shifted courses in our conversation there, but I just really love that portion of our conversation. So let's quickly shift back to your business and what you're offering, because this has been since the first time you and I connected. It's like, here's a guy that is looking outward. Like he's saying, who can I help? Who can I impact? And I love that you have the platforms to do that. So what is on your vision? What's on your plate right now that is available to our listeners, and where can they come find you?
I appreciate it, man. What I realized is maybe kind of, I alluded to at the beginning of the show, that I believe that there are a couple things that were bent in our industry, if not broken to some degree, right? Mm-hmm. One is this pursuit of a bigger and bigger and bigger database, that there's an opportunity cost to that, right? The other thing that I feel strongly about is I've been in the industry and close to the industry, is that I feel very strongly in having coaches. I am who I am today because I've made the investment in coaches. I've made the investment in people who I could purchase their knowledge of. If time is the most important thing that I have, I'd be willing to impart some of my money now in order to learn what took them a decade to learn, and do that over the course of a few months. That's a great return for me, because sure, I could figure it out on my own, but if I can purchase what took you a decade to figure out, I'm in. I'll pay for that. However, I saw that there was a disconnect, that some people were reluctant to coaching, or they weren't getting the most value out of coaching, because they would sit across the screen like as we're doing now, and there'd be a great transfer of knowledge, but at the end of that conversation, the agent would walk away with a list of things to do, and they didn't have the leverage to be able to actually get it done, right? They were already strapped for time. They didn't have the capacity to be able to devote their own attention to it, nor the resources to be able to go hire somebody to do it. And so what I've created now is what I call Coaching Plus, which is, it's more of like a 90-day consulting gig with the specialist to come in and help you do it in your business. So the transfer of knowledge, right, that I'm really emphasizing right now, is teaching the upstream model, how to go find golden geese and attract them into your business to where you have a steady stream of warm referrals flowing into your business every month, together with the key foundational referral systems that allow those golden eggs to land on nice soft ground to where you can continue to add value to that golden goose over and over and over again, knowing that these people that are coming into your world are going to be well taken care of. And all that, there's some work behind that. It's not just teaching the ideas, there's some work. So I've hired teammates who are amazing implementers to come alongside. And as I help create that 90-day sprint and game plan for that agent, they step in and schedule directly with that agent to spend time with them to be sure that these key referral systems are put in place in their business. Meanwhile, I continue to teach the principles of the upstream model while my team helps them to integrate and implement. I think my intent with that is to reach a lot more people, to have the blessing of coaching be able to reach more people and have the benefit of it reach a lot more people, right? So it's, again, coaching plus, which again, just brings together the knowledge and the leverage to get it done.
I love that because I think that's one of the biggest gaps in coaching is implementation, right? And I think a lot of people get off the coaching call or a coaching meeting with the intent of doing it, and they end up not because they don't believe they're coached, not because they don't intend to, but it is a leverage problem for most people. So brilliant idea. Where do they come find you?
Yeah, I think probably the best way, I would say just on Instagram. I've got a good presence there. That's probably the easiest way. At Justin Stoddart, Stoddart as in Tony. Sometimes that gets spelled with a D at the end, but you can find me there and just send me a direct message. Just say enchilada and I'll know what you're talking about. Yeah. I'll either know you love Mexican food or that you're one of Mark's little listeners, but yeah, we can start the conversation there and I can point to some resources that I have for free that will really kind of help you get started. And kind of a Facebook group called Successful Real Estate Agents on Facebook. But if you find me on Facebook, you can also get into that. If Facebook's more your jam, come apply to get inside of the Successful Real Estate Agents Facebook group. And in there, I teach for free the principles on the upstream model as a precursor to those that say, man, I really would love the help too. This model makes sense. This is what I want to do. Then, you know, we start the conversation there so that I can kind of evaluate and you can evaluate if this is the right fit for us to be in business together.
Awesome. I love that. Well, man, I sure appreciate you spending some time with me today. I know you're busy and we're kicking into a weekend right now for you to spend some time with your family. So just like every other time we've been able to talk, I just really, really look up to you. I honor who you are. I feel like we're brothers in purpose and the fact that we're looking to live, give, serve abundantly. So thank you again for spending some time. Any last thoughts or words for our listeners?
Yeah, it's really fun to be able to your point, to be able to be so authentically me on a platform that you've built. You know, this whole enchilada to me is just such a powerful place for anybody that's listening to this. Stay tuned. And this is the kind of guy you want to follow, not just in business, but in life. So thanks for, you know, paving the way for so many people to really realize that it's not just success. It is more than that. And yeah, you're a good man. I appreciate it. Thank you for the privilege of being here.
Awesome, my friend. Look forward to connecting soon. All right, listeners, thank you for being on. Don't forget, go live life on your terms.